Once again, good morning, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for coming this morning and being a part of this service. It's good to see so many friendly faces and a lot of faces here, and I encourage you to please focus in on the service. I'm excited to be able to sit and to listen to my brother preach. He is very fruitful for the Lord, and he goes out and he does much work for the Lord, and he's not here very often, and I appreciate that he has this time to be with us and that we have the opportunity to come and to listen to what the Lord has put on his heart and the word that he has for us. And once again, I'd like to thank all those that are live streaming. It's good that you tuned in, and we'll be praying for those that are unable to attend, for the physical struggles that you do have, or those that are isolated. It's good that you could tune in and be a part of this service also. So I want you to remember that you are in our prayers, and we don't forget about you guys out there either. And so at this time, I'll go ahead and turn it over to my brother, Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Gary. It is good to be here with you today. Good to see each one of you here. You know, it's always good to come back to the Phoenix Local. To see each one of you here faithfully serving the Lord, to enjoy the little comforts that we have here, to enjoy this little fan that's blowing on me back here. I know this last trip that I made to India with our brother Dennis, it was very hot. It was in May, the hottest time of the year there, and the temperatures were 106, 108. And we're in the rice paddies, so you know the humidity is close to 100%. And those congregations do have electricity, and they do have ceiling fans. But they're very enclosed buildings. You know, during each one of our services, when we got there, that ceiling fan was blowing. And even though it was hot, just that little bit of air helped so much. The only problem is, after about 10 minutes at every service, the power went off. So we had no fan. And I know one service, I was looking at my shirt, and it was almost completely soaked, except there was one little spot right here where there's several layers. I could see one little layer that wasn't soaked. Well, a couple minutes later, that was gone, and my shirt was completely soaked. So I do appreciate these little comforts that we have here, and I do appreciate each one of you. You know, this song we sang this morning, I Need Jesus With Me. You know, as we were singing that song, I could feel Jesus with me. I know that he is here today. You know, this last Friday, I spent a good part of the day working on a sermon, and I had many thoughts that came to my mind, and I was writing them down. Scriptures, many scriptures. I had wrote down probably 5.5 pages of notes, which is quite a few notes. And I think the notes for that sermon are very important. But those notes are going to be for my next sermon. They're not going to be for this one. Today, I have another sermon that I feel it needs to come first. And you know, this sermon is based on a sermon that I preached in Kenya in March when we were there with Buzz and Sue and my wife, Kathy. And I also preached a similar sermon at the Temple Lot and at the Colorado reunion earlier this year. And you know, as I preach, and I preach when I go to Kenya, I preach many times, usually every other day. I preach many times. And you know, sometimes, I'm sure other ministers can relate to this, sometimes when I preach, I feel good about a sermon. Sometimes when I preach, I don't feel good about it. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I just, they don't always seem the same. But this sermon that I preached in Kenya, it was the last sermon that I preached there just before we came home. And, you know, as I prepared that sermon, I didn't feel that good about it before I started. And I have that happen too. Sometimes I don't feel that good about the notes, but the sermon turns out to be better than I expected. And that sermon was like that. I thought it was the best sermon that I had preached there. And I know that's only because of the Holy Spirit. But I think that message in that sermon is for each one of us. For each one of us today. I want to start in Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to read verses 14 and 15. And we see here, if you read in verse 1, it talks about that Joshua had gathered all the tribes of Israel. And he has an important message for them. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a very familiar scripture to us. We've heard this many times. But we see here a man that is first trying to warn the people, isn't he? To fear the Lord and to serve them. We know that is a commandment that we have to do that. To have honor, respect our Lord, serve and follow His commandments. It says in sincerity and in truth. In other words, it has to come from our heart. And He says to put away those gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And we know those gods were false gods. They were idols. Not the true and living God. And He tells them to choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day. We have many baptized members in this room. And that day you chose to serve the Lord. But it doesn't end there. It's only the beginning. We must choose every day when we get up. Choose who we are going to serve. And here we see Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He had chosen who He was going to serve. He was going to serve the Lord. And the title of my sermon today is, Choose Whom Ye Will Serve. Choose whom ye will serve. We have a choice. We must choose every day who we will serve. And you know, life is full of choices. You had a choice today to come here or not. Nobody forced you to come here. You had a choice. You came here on your own free will. We have choice on the jobs we have, the career paths, where we live. You have chosen here to live near a local. And I know that is an important thing. We have a choice where we live. We have a choice of what we do. What we do in our free time. What we do for our work. The things we buy. Many choices. The world has, in my opinion, has too many choices today. I go to the grocery store for a loaf of bread, and there's a whole aisle of bread. You know, I'd just soon just have two choices, white and brown, but, you know, there's 30 of each. We have choices. We have a choice whether we're going to follow the commandments or not. The Lord has given us that choice. We choose. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. We are born into this world of choices. Many temporal choices. Many spiritual choices. Sometimes we make good choices. Sometimes we make bad choices. But some choices can change our spiritual lives forever. for the better or for the worse. I'm sure most of us can look into our lives and see some of these choices that we have made, some bad choices that got us on the wrong path. And we had to overcome them and get back on that straight and narrow path. And some are those good choices we made and why we are here today. Some choices make a big difference in our lives, while others don't really matter, like what I had for breakfast this morning, or what you had. It really doesn't matter. You know, they did a survey of preschoolers, and the title was, "To Kids, Food Tastes Better with McDonald's Wrapper." Anything made by McDonald's tastes better, preschoolers said in a study that powerfully demonstrates how advertising can trick the taste buds of young children. Even carrots, milk, and apple juice tasted better to the kids when they were wrapped in the packaging of the Golden Arches. The study included three McDonald's menu items, hamburgers, chicken nuggets, and French fries, and store-bought milk, juice, and carrots. Children got two identical samples of each food on a tray, one in a McDonald's wrapper or cups, and the other in plain, unmarked packaging. The kids were asked if they tasted the same or if one was better. The unmarked food always lost the taste test every time they picked McDonald's, even though every sample was exactly the same. Their choices were influenced by that McDonald's wrapper, weren't they? Our choices sometimes swayed by the things of the world. For adults, it may be Starbucks. They've done taste tests with coffee, obviously. And when they do taste tests with coffee, McDonald's wins. It's not Starbucks. If people don't know what they're drinking, they like McDonald's better. But I'd almost guarantee you, if you had taste tests and you put the coffee there, one in a Starbucks cup and one in a McDonald's cup, even if it was exactly the same coffee, the majority of people would pick Starbucks, wouldn't they? They would be influenced by that Starbucks mystique. Whatever it is, I don't know. But they've got it, don't they? People flock to Starbucks. But what about other things in this world that can influence us? The choices we make that affect us spiritually. You know, in Proverbs chapter 14, and verse 12, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." This is the world today. I hope we can see this everywhere around us. And it gets worse every day. If we can't see that, our eyes have been blinded. The way which seemeth right unto man. That's what's happening in this nation. That's what's happening in this world. These things that are against the laws and commandments of God are being accepted by mainstream America because they seem right to man. You know, things used to be this way in the past. Well, now they're this way in their mind. But the end thereof are the ways of death. We know those things will lead people to destruction. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee unto you." and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God. Present ourselves to God that he can mold us and shape us. And if we resist the devil, if we resist those temptations, he will flee from us. The scriptures promise us that. But we have to resist those temptations because Satan is going to bombard us with them. He knows our weaknesses. And he will place those things before us. We have to resist him. And the Lord will help us to resist those temptations. To put those sins and things out of our lives that are opposed to the will of God. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verses 19 through 21. And then we're going to read verse 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, but where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Our treasures can be any number of things on this earth. Anything that we put up before God. Anything. Can be one of those treasures we're talking about here. That will be of no value to us. But we need to build up those treasures in heaven. Because we know those treasures will be what determine our eternal life. Something we need to be diligent in. And that's a problem with this nation, this world today. There are so many things, especially in America, there's so many things placed before us. All of these temptations, all of the treasures in the world, there. All you have to do is go down and lay down that credit card. I hope you can pay for it someday. And I know millions of people do that every day. They gotta have it. Gotta have it. Their treasures. We're to build up those treasures in heaven, those spiritual treasures, with our service to the Lord. And he says, we cannot serve two masters. And I know a lot of people in the world try to do that. They so much enjoy the things of the world. They want those things. They're important to them. But they kind of like to serve the Lord too. So they kind of try to do both. But it never works. It doesn't work. We have to choose. Another choice we have to make. Are we going to follow after the pleasures of the world? Or are we going to choose to serve the Lord? It says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. People that try to do that are eventually going to go one way or the other. One way or the other. You can't walk that fence forever. You're going to end up serving the world. You're going to end up serving God. Whatever's stronger in your heart, whatever the desires of your heart are. But we choose. We choose who we're going to serve. The choice is ours. Each one of us, our choice. And our choices affect our daily lives. They affect our spiritual lives. They determine where we will spend eternity. So we see how important these choices are. You know, as we go through life, Sometimes life can be very hard. Sometimes it can be a struggle. We'll have trials, tribulations, pain, suffering, persecution. I think the day will come and we'll be persecuted more in this nation. I can assure you we are persecuted in these third world nations. Our people are persecuted. Some have had to move locations where they worship because they were persecuted and forced out of that area. Things are all part of life. We must understand when we walk this time we have on this earth that these problems are going to be part of this life. We're not going to escape them in this mortal body. So we have to endure them. And not let them destroy us spiritually. We must never get discouraged. With these problems and things we have in life. And I know I'm looking at some people that have physical problems. It can be hard. My sister Amy back there. Oh, I loved early. I struggled for many years with these problems, physical problems. And I know she's remained strong. I know it's not always easy, but I know she has remained strong. Because she has that great faith and hope in Jesus Christ. She has that hope of eternal life. That hope of a better life. And she knows the Lord is still with her. He is still there, even though she suffers these physical problems. We can't get discouraged. You know, there's a song that was released 52 years ago. I'd say, by looking around here, the majority of you are not even born then, 52 years ago. I was around. I won't tell you how old, but I was around. In 1962, a song titled "The End of the World" by Skeeter Davis. Many of you have heard this song. Some of you younger people have probably heard it too. A sad song. Sad song. Here's some of the words. White as the sun, go on shining. White as the sea, rush to shore. Why do the birds go on singing? Why do the stars glow above? Why does my heart go on beating? Why do these eyes of mine cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world because you don't love me anymore? The world didn't really end for her, did it? It didn't end. But she was discouraged. She felt hopeless. You know, discouragement, it's one of Satan's favorite tools. He's used it with me. I would bet he's used it with almost every one of you in this room today. It can be easy to get discouraged with the trials of life. And this discouragement can lead us to hopelessness if we're not careful. one of those temptations of Satan. You know, that's the way Satan works. Just these little things. Just a little bit of discouragement. A little bit of whatever that Satan gives to us. That's why the Scriptures tell us to resist them. Resist them in the beginning. You know, sin is so easy to resist if we never partake of it. Once we've partaken of it, it's harder and harder to resist. Something we have to work on always in our lives. And you know, life always goes forward. There's no way to go back. You know, you can watch a movie, you can get to the end, and you can rewind it and watch it all over again. 100 times if you want. You can't do that with life. We can never go back. We have to go forward, no matter where we're at today. You have to go forward. And we choose. We choose today what we're going to do going forward. We choose. Whatever trials, tribulations, problems, sins, whatever we've had, we can be forgiven of them. They can be washed away, and we go forward. But the choice is ours. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is how we can be in our lives if we have Christ there with us. We must always put our complete faith and trust in our Lord. And there's an important word in that sentence. And that is complete. Our complete faith and trust in the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? We don't say, well, we need to put our partial faith and trust in the Lord, do we? Our complete. That means our whole being. Our heart, our mind, our soul. Need to turn them over to Christ. We must follow after the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit works in all of our lives. When those that are baptized members, we know that the Scripture is the promise that after baptism, you have the laying on of hands, you will have that gift of the Holy Ghost, that abiding Spirit to dwell inside of you for all of your days, to be there to guide you and direct you. But the Holy Spirit worked with people all over the world. He worked with each one of you before you were baptized. He works with us, trying to lead us gently, gently leading us in the right direction. But we have to listen. We have to choose whether we're going to listen to Him or not. Example, and I've used this before, but I want to use it again, is when I was called into the ministry. I had a choice, didn't I? I had a choice whether I was going to accept that or not. There's no person on earth, there's no law in this land that could have made me do this. I had to choose. And it really was not a hard choice for me. Because I knew the Lord had called me. And I knew I had to do it. Because that is what He had asked me to do. And He's asking each one of you to do something today. He has a work for each one of us. We need to make sure that we are doing it. But the Lord asked me to do this. And even though I talk about it, and I've talked about it before, and I'll talk about it today, you really don't understand how hard that was for me. Because this is not me. I don't know who this is up here, but it's not me. It's not my natural being. I would be sitting in the back, listening. Hoping nobody asked me anything. And I, when I was called, we had a priesthood meeting, and I was assigned to preach, and I had 1 month to prepare. The hardest month of my life. Because I was in such turmoil. My wife can attest to it. I studied every night when I got home, every night, all evening, of what I would say, and the turmoil. How am I going to do this? How am I going to stand up there and preach to these people? I knew the Lord had called me. I had a witness to it. I had a personal witness, a spiritual witness. I knew He had called me, but I had no idea how to do it. It made me sick. I was sick to the stomach. I couldn't sleep at night. And I finally got up and preached that sermon. Very hard. But I survived it. And as time went on, they got a little bit easier. But then as time went on, it was really revealed to me why I had so much trouble. Why I had so much trouble doing that. Even though I knew God had asked me to do it. Was because of that sentence I read earlier. Because I did not put my complete faith and trust in the Lord. I was still trying to put my faith in myself of what I could do. And I knew I couldn't do it. But with the Lord's help, we can do all things. And that goes for each one of you in this room. You can do it. Whatever the Lord asks you to do. And I know He's asking each one of you to do something. I don't know what it is. We have ministry in here. I know the Lord is asking them to do things, to preach and to exhort. And some of us are missionaries and we travel. Maybe helping with the church. Maybe mowing the lawn. Calling somebody that's sick. Encouraging someone to mourn with those that mourn. Whatever it might be. There are so many activities in this local, things to do. Programs to put on, committees to be on. But the Lord is asking us to do something. And He will be there with us. But don't do like I did. You got to put your complete faith and trust in Him. And He will be there. I want to look at three examples of choices that people made in biblical times. First, let's go to Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We know this story. The kids know this story. The little tiny kids know this story. I remember when I was little, it's one of my favorite stories, one of my favorite Bible stories. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to read verse 17. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That was an interesting thought he had there, wasn't it? The Lord had asked Jonah to do something, hadn't he? So, you know, I'm just going to go hide. I'll go hide in another city. I won't have to do it. We know that doesn't work, does it? We can never hide from the Lord. But we see that the Lord got his attention. In verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. I'm sure that Jonah had plenty of time to do some soul searching, didn't he? To realize that maybe that choice he made wasn't the best. So we see here that he was admonished by the Lord. Let's look at another one. In Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 17. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And we know this city was very wicked, but they had been given a commandment to look not behind thee. But let's see what happened in verses 24 to 26. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Another one of these stories that we're very familiar with. She became a pillar of salt. I want to read in a Matthew Henry commentary about this verse. And I'm going to read this exactly the way he wrote it. And, you know, the way he talks is a little different than we normally talk. But as by the example of Sodom, the wicked are warned to turn from their wickedness, so by the example of Lot's wife, the righteous are warned not to turn from their righteousness. I think this is a very interesting part of this commentary. You know, they're warned to turn from the wickedness. We know that. We're warned to turn away from the things of this world. But we're also warned not to turn from their righteousness. In other words, not to fall away and go the ways of the world. Let's go on here with this commentary. She looked back from behind him. She disobeyed an express command. Probably she hankered after her house and goods in Sodom and was reluctant to leave them. Christ intimates this to be her sin. She too much regarded her stuff. Treasures. At that moment, her treasures were not in heaven, were they? Her treasures were upon the things of the world. And we see what the results were for her. 1 Nephi, chapter 1, verse 3. For it came to pass in the commencement of the first year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, my father Lehi, having dwelt at Jerusalem in all his days. And in that same year there came many prophets, prophesying unto the people that they must repent, or the great city of Jerusalem must be destroyed. Now let's go on to verses 18 and 19. Therefore, I would that ye should know that after the Lord had shown so many marvelous things unto my father Lehi, yea, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, behold, he went forth among the people and began to prophesy and to declare unto them concerning the things which he had both seen and heard. And it came to pass that the Jews did mock him because of the things which he testified of them, for he truly testified of their wickedness and their abominations. So we see here that this man Lehi, that he was also commanded of the Lord to do something. But he did it. He did it. He prophesied to these people that they were being wicked. And we know that people don't like to hear those things, do they? But he was willing. He prophesied of these things. Now let's go on ahead and read verses 24 through 29. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord. Wherefore he did as the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness. And he left his house and the land of his inheritance and his gold and his silver and his precious things, and took nothing with him, save it were his family, and provisions and tents, and he departed into the wilderness. So we see a little bit different story here, don't we? Of this man Lehi, who listened to the Lord. He did this thing, basically the same thing that Jonah was asked to do, to go and prophesy to those people. But Lehi was willing to do it. But we see that the Lord came to him and warned him and told him that the people of Jerusalem were going to come and kill him, and told him to depart into the wilderness. What if the Lord came to us today and told us to depart into the wilderness? He took nothing but provisions, left the things of the world behind. An obedient servant of the Lord. In all three of these examples, they had a choice. Each one had a choice to follow what the Lord had told them to do, the commandment that he had given them, or not to follow. And we can clearly see the consequences and the rewards. We know that Lehi was preserved, protected by the Lord, but we know he also had a hard life to be there in the wilderness and to eventually come across the sea and come to the Americas. It was hard. He had to make sacrifices, but he was willing because that's what the Lord asked him to do. And he put the Lord first in his life. That was his choice. He chose to serve the Lord. In 2 Nephi, chapter 1, verse 120, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. Again, we see these choices that we have. If we choose to follow after the Lord, we will have that eternal life that I know that each one of us wants to have. Let's look at Alma, chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 228 through 230. This is on page 430. For behold, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance unto the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. This is our time. This is our time to prepare to meet God. And we have to understand that that is the most important thing we'll do in this life. We know we have to work, we have to provide for our family, we have to take care of the children. There's many things we have to do. The most important one is preparing to meet God. Laying up those treasures in heaven. Performing those labors in this life. Whatever the Lord asks us to do. Our time to prepare. We do not know how much time we have. You know, in the church, we have police officers, we have firefighters, we have people who are in the military, we have construction workers. We have a brother Andrew who's in Afghanistan. I think he's going back there again. Dangerous jobs. But just driving down the highway. We have several examples of church members who have lost their lives driving down the highway. One was driving to church. Maybe it was Chris driving to church. He was driving home from work, wasn't he? I don't. A sister of ours was driving to church one time. A terrible accident, lost her life. Her time of probation was over. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord with all our heart, our whole being. No matter what happens to us in this life. Don't lean on our own understanding. That's why the world is in the position it is today. Because men have been leaning on their own understanding and not leaning on the words that Christ has given unto us, the commandments that he has given unto us. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Praise his name. Thank him for the blessings that we have. We are such a blessed nation. And he shall direct thy paths. So important that we have him there to direct our paths. Because it's so easy for us as weak mortals to get on that wrong path. To be tempted by Satan. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And these are Christ's words. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. and few there be that find it. Broad is the way. There are many paths out there, many paths, many choices that lead to destruction. But here Christ is telling us to enter in at that straight gate. Enter in at that straight gate, that one gate that will lead us to eternal life. And he says, there are few there be that find it. It's there. It's there and available for the world. But only a few will find it. Because of the things of the world, the temptations of Satan, that they are led away. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi. Chapter 13. We're going to read verses 24 through 32. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. You could easily preach a whole sermon on these verses because it tells us so much. So much of what we need to do. We talked in Matthew chapter 7 there that we are to enter in at that straight gate. Enter in at that straight gate. This scripture clearly tells us what that straight gate is. Let's read verses 24 and 25. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and of the Son. We see that gate is repentance and baptism. And after we've gone through that gate, we are on that straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. That path that was talked about in Matthew. Verses 26 and 27. And ye shall receive the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after they ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. That's the problem with so many Christian religions today. That they start, but they don't finish. This false teaching of being saved leads many away to destruction. It is all done. And we see the answer here in verses 28 and 29. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save you. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. It tells us these other things that we must do. We must rely on Christ all of our days. We must press forward with a steadfast in Christ, always, daily, trying to grow stronger spiritually, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, looking for ways that we can serve the Lord. And having that perfect brightness of hope, we can have that hope. If we are following after Christ's commandments and doing what he has asked us to do and have that love of God and of all men, we know the scriptures are very plain about that, that we need to put Christ first to have that great love for him. And we know that second commandment, that we love thy neighbor as thyself. Love. We're to have a love for God and for all mankind. Verses 30 through 32. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby men can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. None other way given under heaven except through Jesus Christ. Repenting of our sins, being baptized into His church, and following Him all the days of our life. This talks about feasting upon the words, the Word of Christ. We know that's talking about studying the Scriptures in our private lives, here in church, in Sunday school. And it tells us to endure to the end. And how important this is. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Let's turn over to Mosiah, chapter 9. Verses 39 through 41. And this is on page 259. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they might be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord, as a witness before Him, that ye have entered into a covenant with Him, that ye will serve Him and keep His commandments, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you. We see it's talking about some of the things, the characteristics that we need to have before baptism. And obviously, after we are baptized, that's the way that we need to lead our lives. And we see here what, when we are baptized in the name of Christ, what we are doing. When we enter into those waters of baptism, we are making a covenant with Jesus Christ. We are making a promise to Him that we will serve Him and keep His commandments. That's the promise we make. And He has a promise to us that He will pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon us. That's what we need to do as members of the Church of Christ. And there's an important thing in this verse. Very important. It says here, even until death. Endure to the end. How important that is. And I know some in the Church of Christ don't understand this. Those that have fallen away from the church, they didn't understand it. They missed that important point. That was just as important as their baptism. They missed that, enduring to the end, even until death. Those notes I took on Friday, this is what they were concerning. Enduring to the end. What we need to know. What the people that fell away didn't know. I have those pages of notes. I don't know what to do with them. How to present it. But I know the Lord will help me. That I will be able to present that. Because there's something about human nature where sometimes you can tell them over and over and they don't listen or they don't want to hear or they don't get it. This is one. endure to the end. They hear that. They know it. The people were baptized. They know you're supposed to endure to the end. But they didn't do it. What happened? We know that Satan came in and tempted them and whatever. But they made a covenant to serve God, to serve Christ all their lives. Somehow they forgot that. They forgot that covenant. They forgot that they were endured to the end. And they went on this other forbidden path. I know an example I have in these foreign lands. I have had all day seminars with a group of men on the priesthood. And I covered it from top to bottom all day, talking about the priesthood, about how they're called, about that they have to be called by God, and we have to have witnesses, and we don't have a paid ministry, and they ask questions, and we discussed it. And I finished. The first question that comes up, well, why don't we have ministry, and why aren't I getting paid? Even though we talked about that in depth, upside and right side up, and they didn't get it. They didn't hear it. I can assure you that the many people we go to in these foreign lands do not hear that. When we tell them we do not have a paid ministry, they do not get it. They don't believe it. They think we're kidding. I don't know what it is. They don't believe it. Everybody has paid ministry in their minds, and most of the world does. So even though you tell them time and time again, they don't understand. And obviously that is a problem we have all over in the Church of Christ about enduring to the end. People do not completely understand what that means. They don't understand that covenant they made. They don't understand the importance of enduring to the end. Without it, our souls are lost. They don't understand. Hopefully, I'll be able to present that sometime in the future. Mosiah chapter 8. On page 255. Even this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, and shall be brought to stand before the bar of God, to be judged of him according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. If they be good, to the resurrection of endless life and happiness. And if they be evil, to the resurrection of endless damnation. Another thing that's not popular with the world today is works. You know, most Christian religions don't believe in works. You know, you're saved by grace. You don't need the works. Even though even in the Bible, there's many instances where it talks about that we'll be judged according to our works. We have to have these works. And it's very clear here in this scripture that those that had evil works in this life, that they'll be resurrected to endless damnation. But those that have those good works, those things we've been talking about this day, making those right choices, choosing to follow after the Lord, they will be resurrected to that endless life and happiness. And I know that that's what each one of us wants. And what a wonderful thing that will be. But we have to make these correct choices in this life if we are to obtain that eternal life. Revelation chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21. Again, the words of Jesus Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. And I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Christ, he stands at the door and knocks. And know the Lord always gives us examples that we can understand. Like that door there. We understand somebody knocking on that door. And we understand opening that door and them standing there. That's the example that Christ has given unto us. He is always there for us. All we have to do is come unto him. Hear his voice. And he will be there with us. And each one of us needs that. No matter where we're at in our spiritual lives. We need to open that door to Christ. Allow him in. Allow him to be part of our lives. Allow him to help us through those times of trial and tribulation. Whatever we stand in need of. I know each one of us in this room have different problems, different trials, different temptations. The Lord's aware of each one of them. He will be there. All we have to do is open that door. But the choice is ours. The choice is ours. The Lord has given that. Freedom of choice to each one of us to choose the things that we will do in this life. I thank you for your time this day.